point in its history, and I propose to follow it for at least the next year. How the book turned out, I suggested, whether it would be positive or negative from Eisner's point of view, would in large part depend on what happened. I acknowledged that cooperating with me would be something of a gamble, since there was no way of knowing how the story would unfold. I made no promises. There could be no quid pro quos for any cooperation. Eisner seemed intrigued. He said business was on an upswing at Disney, and in any event, he was an optimist by nature. He'd written his own book that was published in 1998 called Work in Progress, but he was disappointed in the critical reaction, which suggested that he'd glossed over some of the most controversial incidents in his career, especially the departure of Jeffrey Katzenberg in 1994 and Michael Ovitz a few years later. Eisner later conceded that the book had been heavily edited by lawyers and other Disney executives who made him cut anything that might have been controversial. Eisner said he welcomed scrutiny. "I really don't mind your investigating the company," he said, "because I've got nothing to hide. You may find that we've made some mistakes, but not because we didn't try to do the right thing." By the end of dinner, Eisner seemed to have warmed to the prospect. We got into his chauffeur-driven black SUV, and he dropped me off near my apartment. Just before I got out, he mentioned that he loved his job. "There's no point in doing something if it's not fun," he said. "So let's have fun with this book." Of course, no one could have anticipated the dramatic events that were about to unfold, sowing turmoil at the company and keeping Disney on the front pages of the nation's newspapers. A boardroom revolt led by Roy Disney and his ally Stanley Gold. Roy's and Gold's abrupt resignations from the board. The collapse of negotiations with Pixar Animation Studios. A management shakeup at ABC. A hostile takeover bid from Comcast. And a shareholder revolt that left Eisner publicly humiliated and stripped of his chairmanship, if not his day-to-day power. I was at a meeting with Eisner in the midst of all this the day after Pixar and Apple Computer chief executive Steve Jobs abruptly terminated their negotiations to extend the lucrative partnership that had contributed Toy Story and Finding Nemo to the Disney library. "I can see your book is turning into Barbarians at the Gate," Eisner wryly observed. 2 months after that first dinner with Eisner, on Thursday, May 21st, a car picks me up at 6:30 a.m. at the Animal Kingdom Lodge in Walt Disney World. I've been staying at the lodge, a spectacular interpretation of the thatched roof safari lodges found in East Africa, for several days while immersing myself in the theme park, revisiting rides like Space Mountain and the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, roaming through the backstage areas reserved for cast members, and watching preparations for theatrical events like Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. I've walked the park with Walt Disney World President Al Weiss, who, in the tradition of Walt, darted over and snatched up any scrap of paper or debris and placed it in a trash receptacle. The habit was contagious. I soon found myself scanning for any wayward trash. As a child, I'd made 2 trips to Disneyland with my family, and I remember them as the best family vacations we ever had. My father worked for a small Midwestern television station that carried the syndicated The Mickey Mouse Club, and we got the red carpet VIP treatment, though we did have to wait in lines. I had unlimited tickets for the most popular rides, like my favorites, Fantasyland's Matterhorn bobsleds and the Tomorrowland